Blog Talk Radio.
So first up, I want to say
if you haven't already, please like and subscribe. Join the tribe. You know what I'm saying? Like, share, comment, you know, subscribe to the channel. If you go to yesterday's episode, it was fire, man. It was really fire. A heated debate broke out between me and my bro, E. It's a great, funny debate, funny episode there. I want my apology, though. You know what I'm saying? I want my apology because boys was trying to jump on me when I made my statement. And then when I told them exactly what I was saying, they tried to say I didn't say that. Everybody else heard it, Shakes. Everybody else, so everybody was wrong. I guess everybody was motherfucking wrong then. I want my fucking apology, man. This shit ain't gonna die until I get my apology, man. Understand? I'm dead ass serious, too. I'm dead ass serious, bro. I'm not even joking, bro. I'm so tired of them trying to make it seem like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about when I fucking do. Alright? But that's for tomorrow's episode, Debate Wednesdays. Please go ahead and tune in for that. Tune in for LRP's. Let me tell you, where he is addressing Giant Nation, Big Blue Nation. You know what I'm saying? He addressing y'all on the Daniel Jones topic. If you haven't seen it by now, please go take a look at that. Also, take a look at my top 10 running back rankings. That is up there as well. All the episodes that we have thrown up there, we got my rankings of the running backs, the wide receivers, and the tight ends so far. Quarterbacks is on his way. Tackles is on his way. Guards is on their way. Guards and centers. And I bunched them in one. But they're all on their way, so definitely check out all of them. Check out all the my rankings that I'm going to throw up. Check out the Shakedown DMV. Finally coming back tomorrow. I think we was gone for a week. But we're coming back tomorrow. We ain't show up last week, but we back out here. And that will be at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So definitely tune in and tap in and check that out. As well as what we are debuting on July 11th. On July 11th, we are debuting a new show. Yes, right. We're coming up with another one. And another one. But we're coming up with a show on Blog Talk, on here. And it will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Starting July 11th, 6 p.m. Eastern time. What is the show called? It is called Skull Talk. The Shakedown presents Skull Talk. And that is Minnesota Vikings show content. My boy Carlos, he will be the host, and he'll have some other co-hosts with him as well, I believe. But he'll be the host of this show, and I'm proud to present it to y'all. And I hope that the Vikings fans and nation migrate and join us and, you know, check us out as well. So definitely want to touch and tap into that fan base. It's a hardcore fan base. They really go hard for their organization. The fan base really love their team. And so I'm happy that I can present that to y'all and give y'all that show. So please, again, man, check out that show on July 11th, 6 p.m. Eastern time, on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, we will throw up the replays on YouTube. So don't worry. Even you YouTube heads can still listen to the show. But, yes, it will be Blog Talk Radio, July 11th, 6 p.m. Eastern time. All right? So definitely join us for all of that. And like I said, go check out those videos, those contents that we throw out, and yeah, man, we working out here. So definitely, if you ain't do it by now, man, I definitely think you should be subscribing. You know what I'm saying? Cause ain't nobody giving y'all this shit. Ain't nobody giving y'all all this shit in the content that we bring. I'm sorry. No disrespect to nobody. You know what I'm saying? But it's the truth. You know? So, with that being said, as I'm waiting on my boy to get here, I want to check out or read a couple of articles for you folks as far as the New York Giants is concerned. Give y'all some Giant news for my boy coming here. We chop it up and we're going to talk about a lot of other things as well. Like we're going to talk about wrestling, what's going on with that, and everything else. So before we get into all of that and before he gets here, let me go through this article with you folks here. So I believe this is by BigBlueView.com, which is SB Nation. All right, the title is named ESPN Ranks the Giants Skill Players 27th in the NFL. Do the Giants, I ain't going to do all that. But it was written by Chris Flum, maybe the P is silent. So, Chris Flum. There you go. I hope I didn't butcher your name, but if I did, sorry. But yes, he wrote the article, and I haven't read it before coming on air. So please be nice. Because I'm trying to understand the article as well as read it as well with y'all. So, all right, now, it starts off going, New York Giants exceeded all expectations in 2022, and hopes abounds as we enter the second year under Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. This time last year, we were simply looking at the 2022 as a year to be survived, before taking strides forward in 2023 and beyond. But suffice it to say, the Giants punched well above their weight class last year in making the playoffs for the first time since 2016. If the Giants want to make the success they saw in 2022 the norm instead of a fluke, they need to improve their roster. The Giants front office has certainly put resources in improving the offensive skill positions. They traded for Darren Waller. They signed wide receivers Paris Campbell and Jamison Crowder, re-signed wide receiver Isaiah Hodgins, and drafting wide receiver Jalin Hyatt and Eric Gray, and running back Eric Gray. But have they done enough? ESPN's Bill Barnwell is skeptical that the Giants' offensive skill positions are significantly improved in 2023, despite all their moves. Well, I guess he meant to say despite all their moves. But Barnwell ranked the Giants' skill position group, running back, tight end, and receiver, 27th out of the 32 teams, exclusive content. And while that's an improvement from their 30th overall ranking a year ago, is down from 16th overall ranking heading into 2021. So let's break down Barnwell's thoughts for each position group. The Giants' biggest move at running back was making sure at least very likely that Saquon Barkley would be on the roster for 2023. That in and of itself doesn't constitute an upgrade to improve the Giants' playmakers, but it does prevent a potential drop-off as compared to a year ago. Barnwell says about the running back position. How far can Saquon Barkley carry the Giants? He approached his 2018 rookie form and excelled last season, generating 114 rushing yards over expected behind an inconsistent offensive line. If this version of Barkley sticks around, the team will be thrilled, but counting on the former number two overall pick to stay healthy for the second consecutive season is difficult. In between healthy campaigns in 2018 and 2022, he missed 21 games and was forced out of three others with various injuries. Matt Breida would be the first man up if Barkley missed time. The situation surrounding Barkley is, as of this writing, casting a long shadow over their offseason. As of now, it would be a stunning development if Barkley isn't on the field for the Giants in 2023, though it remains to be seen whether he is playing on a long-term contract or the franchise tag. He was arguably the central figure in the Giants' offense a year ago. Barkley basically carried the Giants' offense, both figuratively and literally, in the first part of 2022, and played a key role in almost all their offensive schemes in the second half of the season. Even if he wasn't touching the ball quite as often, the Giants making sure he's around gives them a potent and versatile weapon for their offense, even if he isn't an upgrade over a year ago. But Barnwell's concern over Barkley's health is valid. Barkley suffered lower body injuries in 2018, a grade 1 hamstring sprain, 2019, a high ankle sprain, 2020, an ACL, and 2021 with a low ankle sprain. He also played through a stinger suffered late last year. Additionally, our own Revica board looked at Barkley's advanced stats and found that while his raw numbers mirror his great rookie season, more in-depth stats suggest that he wasn't particularly efficient. It's also possible that Barkley could be set to decline this year as he closes in on 1,500 career touches. Matt Breida didn't have a large role in the Giants' offense last year. He played in all 17 games and started one, playing 264 snaps on offense, 23%, and had just 74 total touches, 54 carries, 20 receptions. But while his production was modest, he did come through with several important plays in big moments. Breida gives the Giants a capable backup to take both snaps off of Barkley to help keep him healthy and fresh, and someone to take up the slack if Barkley goes down. The Giants certainly don't have the 27th best running back room in the NFL, but whether or not the efficiency of their runners improves will likely depend on everything around them. Barnwell isn't sure whether the Giants' other additions give them a sure thing upgrade over a year ago. More concerningly, the Giants went into the offseason knowing that they needed to add playmakers for newly expensive quarterback Daniel Jones and didn't come away with a single sure thing. This article is pretty good. Pretty good, buddy. Hold on, let me continue. Got my boy LRP with me. What's going on, LRP?
Yo, feeling a whole lot better now that a brother's so fresh, so clean.
I know that's right.
And that statement is bullshit about Barkley on the decline, but I'm going to let you continue.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm looking at this shit. It's kind of a long-ass goddamn article. Picked the wrong one to try to waste time and wait on you, goddammit. All right. So, they go on to the tight end, right?
I got to read.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hella shit, bro. All right. But I'm doing good. I like how I'm reading. I'm a good reader. I'm a good reader. But tight end. The tight end position is where the Giants started making improvements to their skill position players. The move to trade for wide receiver turned tight end Darren Waller was the most noteworthy of the Giants offseason, and it could be the most impactful as well. About the tight end position, Barnwell says, the biggest name is tight end Darren Waller, who turns 31 in September and was limited to 388 receiving yards because of injuries a year ago. That's all he had. I didn't know that. After averaging 958 offensive snaps per season in his breakout stretch between 2019 and 2020, he has played a combined 954 offensive snaps over his ensuing two campaigns. He also dropped off from averaging 2.44 yards per route run during the 2019-20 season to 1.76 over the past two campaigns. Oh, wow. Waller was worth the risk at the price the Giants paid a third-round pick in a trade, but he's hardly a sure thing. Jones needs Waller to be one because the depth chart at wide receiver is uninspiring. Again, Barnwell's skepticism regarding the Giants roster largely stems from injury concerns. That's what I'm getting. When healthy, Waller is one of the most dynamic tight ends in the NFL. Unfortunately, he's only played in 20 of 34 games over the last 2 years, 11 in 2021 and 9 in 2022. The Giants are confident in their strength and conditioning staff to limit injuries in 2023, and a healthy Waller is an improvement over a year ago. Interestingly, much has been made this spring of Waller's athleticism and ability to stretch a defense vertically from the slot or as a detached tight end. However, his best years, 2019 and 2020, saw him average 6.4 and 5.8 yards before the catch, respectively. In other words, he did most of his damage in the short area of field. As well, Barnwell doesn't seem to be factoring any improvement in Daniel Bellinger into his projections for this year, and I'll argue that is a mistake. Bellinger was an effective player for the Giants, particularly for a rookie tight end, and an incredibly random eye injury disrupted his development. Bellinger might not ever be in a conversation with the likes of Kelce, Kittle, or Mark Andrews. However, in a modest improvement in a full 17-game schedule could propel Bellinger into an upper middle ranks of tight ends in the league. Having a player like Hunter Henry, Dalton Knox, or Dalton Schultz would be a respectable improvement for the Giants offense. I agree. All right, now this is the last thing of the article. Thank God. All right, this is the wide receiver section of it. Finally, we come to the wide receiver position. I have argued that the Giants receivers for the second half of the year were underrated by many observers. Isaiah Hodgins, Slayton, and Richie James had approximately zero name cachet when they were solidified as the starting trio. However, they did enough to allow the Giants to make a mid-season switch in offensive philosophy from an RPO-based offense in the first half of the year to a modern take on the classic West Coast offense, quick game in the second half. And while they weren't dynamic and could certainly be improved upon, Hodgins was dependable, and Slayton once again proved to be an explosive option. Though drops remain an issue, that you damn right it did. The Giants receivers had notable plays against even the best defense they faced. Getting behind the Philadelphia Eagles secondary on multiple occasions, even if the offense wasn't able to capitalize on the opportunities. General Manager Joe Shane added plenty of depth to a group that was evolving throughout 2022, but he's trying to make a dollar out of three dimes and four nickels. Oh, wow. That's good line, bro. The team brought back Isaiah Hodgins, Sterling Shepard, and Darius Slayton. Shepard tore his ACL last September while Slayton was only pushed into the lineup out of necessity. Slayton probably best served as a downfield threat in the third or fourth spot in the lineup. Might normally be New York's top wideout. Wandale Robinson, drafted in the second round last year, might not be able to break camp with the team after his own ACL injury. The Giants used a third-round pick on Jalin Hyatt, but he was running with the third-string offense during the offseason program and might not be ready to make a more significant impact in 2024. I didn't read that right. It might be telling that the receiver getting the most hype at OTAs was former Colts second-rounder Paris Campbell, who missed 34 games over the first three seasons before averaging 9.9 yards per catch for Indianapolis a year ago. Once again, injury concerns raised their ugly head, and they aren't invalid concerns. Sterling Shepard looks surprisingly good coming back from his torn Achilles last year, but we don't know if the injuries will start piling up on him. Likewise, we don't know when Wandale Robinson will be available for the Giants. Likewise, while Campbell may believe the injuries suffered early in his career were flukes, we can't discount them entirely. Personally, I'm less concerned with Jalin Hyatt's role in the offense than Barnwell seems to be. While he wasn't asked to run a complex route tree in Tennessee offense, he executed the routes he was asked to run well. I'm confident that Dable and Kafka will put him in a position to contribute as a rookie, even if Hyatt's poor agility numbers limit his overall route tree. A slimmer version of DK Metcalf isn't a bad thing to have. Okay, yeah, that's about it. So basically, Barnwell is saying that the injury factors is the reason why he got our skill position players ranked 27th out of 32 motherfucking teams in the NFL. Disrespectful. But what do you think about that? What do you think about the Giants being ranked 27th out of 32 in skill position players, according to this guy, Barnwell?
Well, I think Barnwell Hill. Did you miss me? No, we didn't, because that's some bullshit. And he's a victim just like all these other people out here who think that they're slaves to a level of thinking that is just, I can't even think of a SAT word, man. This shit is just dumb. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You got to worry about the injuries and what's this. Yeah, as a 9, as a 10, as a 11. You know what I mean? I get you got to worry about the injuries. I get that. However, like, it's this level of thinking that people stay where they are. You know what I mean? And there's just no chance. And the shit about Jalin Hyatt, for all you know, they could have him working out with the third string to ease him along, because the way they introduce education in the building now is different. The way they introduce tutelage and things are in phases, even though I know that was a thing before. But this phase implementation may actually be for the good. You know what I'm saying? So they know that he didn't have a exotic route tree in Tennessee. So easing him along, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? And that don't have any merit or anything. Just because he's doing that right now, it's off-season bullshit talk.
I can dig it.
Where the receipts going to be found for this motherfucker Barnwell Hill when the season starts 5 weeks in? Who's going to remember that fucking article? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why these motherfuckers get away with murder. You know what I'm saying? Because they can sit here in the off-season and say, spout all kinds of bullshit, and then nobody's going to fucking remember, you know what I mean, in what, October 15th, whatever the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
fuck out of here. You just doing that shit to get clicks, which works. Because if this thing has your name scroll across the ESPN and how fittingly so Shakedown got the scoop, you know what I'm saying? Because my brother's been reading for the past 20 minutes.
You feel me?
And I, you know what I'm saying?
You feel me? Long ass goddamn article, man. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I mean, and then about the tight end, about Waller and this and the third, it just seems the shit was riddled with microaggressions. Towards skepticism, if you ask me.
No doubt. It's the Rock in the building. What's going on, J-Rock?
What's
up,
Rock?
What's going on?
What it, man?
What y'all speaking on?
Well, I just read an article by, I think it's Big Blue View. Let me get the dude's name one more time. Written by this guy Chris Plum, but it's basically he was saying this guy Barnswell made a list or rankings and ranked the Giants skill position players 27th out of 32 goddamn teams, 27th in the NFL, all skill position. So, how you feel about him? Yeah, how you feel about that, man? How you feel about him ranking us 27th? And most of his argument or the reason why he has us that low is because of injuries, is what I was reading. You know what I mean? From what I displayed, it was basically he was just questioning injuries the whole time. He questioned Barkley's injury. He questioned Waller's injuries. He questioned all the wide receivers' injuries. You know what I'm saying? So, I think that was basically majority of, you know what I mean, what his premise was. So, how you feel about that?
I ain't trying to sway your response, J-Rock, but that shit is haterism.
I mean, but how can he base it all on injury when every team's skilled players get injured? That's not really a reason, man. You can't base it off of that. You got to base it off production, and you got to base it off these stats. I mean, I don't understand how people want to base it off of if the guy is there. And, all right, that's a major part because you have to be there, right? You got to be there. But who's injury prone on that skill, on that skill position? Who's injury prone?
Shaq.
Right?
That's the only one.
You know how I feel about Shep. I don't think Shep will make the team, but I digress.
Disrespectful, man. But man, I agree with y'all, man. I think it's definitely asinine, man. You know what I mean? And disrespectful, bro. It really is disrespectful, bro. God damn it.
Now, if he would have said based on productivity, he don't think that these players are going to produce in the top five of the league, then you know what I'm saying? Then I'm like, okay, that's your opinion. But if you're saying, well, they're injury prone, so they're going to be on the bottom half of the league because injury prone. I mean, come on. You got to give you a little bit more explanation, actually a lot more explanation than that.
Yeah, definitely. I advise you to, go back and listen to this episode and listen to me read the article. Or you can go ahead and read the article your damn self. But his take and shit on it. He put out numbers and he put out all that shit. And it made he put some shit out where I didn't even know. Some numbers that I didn't know. But all in all, his main premise is that. Buzz, you know what I'm saying? injuries, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Come on.
But even with the stats, though, Shakes, I mean, because, right, with what he read earlier in the article, he pulled out some stats, specifically, I'm talking about the part where he was talking about the running back in Barkley, and, you know, how he was saying how his production has some stats, digging in the crates to find stats to fit his narrative. Is this what it sounds like? You know what I mean? Of how productive or how futuristically productive he he will be. And it was riddled. The whole article was riddled with that. Yeah, he came with numbers and everything, but it's still on the premise that these people will stay where they are, and there's no
you
room for anything else.
I think I read that article because he was talking about what was he talking about? Expected yards, and he was talking about some bullshit. He was really trying to find shit to say that Barkley wasn't really productive. I think I read that.
Right, and which we debunked early in the year in the spring on Spaces is that you can always find stats to, if you are motivated to tear down, you can find stats to prove that. You know what I'm saying? Or to make your argument sound
mm-hmm.
better. If you're motivated by that kind of, you know, by that whatever thinking.
Make you see what you want them to see and shit. But, yeah, man, it was an interesting article. Definitely thought I should read it out there for the people, them, for those who didn't read that article and know about it. But other than that, what we had on
did,
the doctor?
Did he discuss, I know it was a but, dance joint, but did he discuss San Fran? Because their whole team was decimated by the time the NFC Championship game came around. Kittles, lightning fast running back dude, wide receiver, do everything. Forgot his name right now. But, all their skilled players.
Oh, Debo?
With the exception of,
Debo.
Yeah, Debo Samuel. You know what I mean? All of them was nicked up, hurt up, banged up, couldn't even play. Couldn't even find a dude to play quarterback. You know what I mean? So where they rank moving forward? You know what I'm saying? Are they 26th, 27th? 25th or whatever? Like,
right.
Come on.
28th? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. If you're gonna put the injury factor, put it in for everybody. Because everybody gets injured.
That's a fact. That's a fact, bro. That is a fact. So that's just like, it's just a half-assed excuse, bro. We ain't having it over here in Giant Nation, motherfucker. Fix that shit.
No doubt. On my busting rounds from Queens, you know what I mean? By the time the weed got around to me, I had my 16.
Absolutely, man. So what you had on the docs in LLP before, you know what I mean? Because we ain't got that much time on here, man. It was just an hour show, man. Appreciate my boys coming through. LRP, J Brock coming through this morning on the Shakedown AM. You know what I mean? I know we late and shit, but we made it. We here.
Yeah, we made it. You know what I mean? We'll be back full force on Thursday morning. I ain't doing no overtime this week, so I'm going to be live already. Get these topics for the people. Definitely wanted to talk some WWE and this Uso bloodline storyline. That thing is crazy, you know what I mean? So I don't know how many wrestling fans out there that tune in, but definitely tune in on Thursday with the big beat into the WWE and AEW and what the fuck happened and why all of a sudden goddamn Cody Rhodes is over there in WWE when he was the main face on AEW. I got a problem with that, you know what I mean? Because they had a good product, but I'm curious, so we'll beef up for that. That's just a little teaser. So y'all get your mouth water for that.
In that episode, the main thing of that episode, we're going to chop it up about the defensive rankings according to the NFC East. You know, same thing we did with the offense a couple weeks ago. We're going to do it on the defensive side. We're going to go position by position, defensive line, linebackers, all that shit. And we just going to rank the position group in the division. So definitely join us Thursday, man. We got a lot in store for y'all on Thursday. Join us for tomorrow, man. We're going to be skipping all that because tomorrow, man, it's going to be fire, man. Debate Wednesday. We got a lot of good topics going on for that, man. That shit going to be fire based off of last night's episode. And, Shakedown DMV as well will be back tomorrow. So, yeah, y'all make sure that y'all go ahead, like, subscribe, comment, and share this motherfucker, man. Join the tribe, all right? So, yeah, making sure that people know about that. But what else you had to say? My bad.
I would definitely be there on tomorrow. It'll be the first State Wednesdays in a couple of weeks. Brother been getting this paper. But tomorrow I am taking my time spending it with the brothers on the State Wednesday Shakedown Sports Podcast. Y'all know what it is. That's what I'm pulling.
Should be fully staffed, bro. Fully staffed for tomorrow. Tomorrow gonna be blazing. I'm hot, bro. Tired of this shit, goddamn. Motherfuckers always want to dismiss what I be saying, bro. You feel me? And I want my apology, goddamn it. I mean, I want it.
My money?
I demand that shit, bro. I demand that shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? I demand that shit, bro. You know what I mean? Be a man, bro. Be a man. We went through this shit last night. I told you to go back to the episode, go back and listen, then come back to me on Wednesday and say, I apologize. Like a man.
I apologize for the wrong things.
And if he don't, then Giant Nation, I want y'all to kill him. I want y'all to say, put your skirt on, son, because you can't even be a man of six, B. I want you to kill him. Tired of this shit, man. I want my goddamn respect. And I want it now. And I won't let it die neither. Y'all know how I am. I'm not letting this shit die. Alright? God damn it, I felt ambushed once again. And I always feel ambushed by y'all. Let me be honest with y'all right now. Right here on air. Y'all always ambushing me. Oh, nobody takes my
time. I'm the victim.
where does he fit in? Now, I'm not going to go through this article, right? But I want to go through what I noticed in the fucking article, right? Just the shit that just, you know what I mean, went off the roof, like it just glaring fucking light to the shit. As soon as I looked at the article, the shit says, by the numbers, right? So I guess they give y'all the vitals. Listen to these vitals, bro. And I'm not sure if y'all know his vitals and y'all like, all right, you just telling me something that y'all already know. Well, if that's the case, I'm sorry. But I didn't know this shit. I didn't remember this shit, okay? So I'm going to let y'all know what I'm seeing, all right? By the numbers, the motherfucker height is 6'7". What the fuck? 6'7"? His weight is 335 motherfucking pounds. 335 fucking pounds. Good God, man.
You know that?
No. He's 23 years old, and he signed a four-year contract last year worth $3 million, close to four, guaranteed signing was close to $300,000, and his cap hit is $800,000. So that's Marcus McKeithen's life. That's his vitals. 6'7", 335
right.
pounds, bro? That's what he is?
His life.
When did
right,
you know
right.
this? When did you remember this? Because I ain't remember this shit.
Shit, I've been banging the table balls for Marcus McKeithen to get healthy and be on this field since the day he was drafted. Both of them North Carolina boys. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at them both. Possibly because the year before, Sam Howell, you know, I relinquished my parental rights because, you know, it wasn't going to be a good fit as far as him being my son. But I was still looking at that team. And especially when we hired the running back coach. I know he's not here anymore. But when that first year when he was here, I was, man, I couldn't wait to see what he was going to do.
Hmm. That's crazy. So you think he wins the job? What's up, man? You gonna jump off the bridge with the trust fall? Is he gonna win a starting job?
I don't think so, not at this stage. I haven't heard too much about him, you know what I mean? You know, I haven't heard any mock-ups, any, you know, people mentioning his name. I think he's still, like, working on the sideline, red shirt, you know, whatever. But I'm hopeful. I'm not jumping off the bridge, but I am hopeful because, like you said, those vitals, we need that on that line, bro.
That's a fact.
Need those vitals on that line, bro. 6'7", 300-plus bucks as a right guard right next to... You know, they talking about John all crazy now. He's going to be all rookie. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we need that. That line would be ridiculously solidified if, you know what I mean, if he comes to fruition. That's the best way I can put it. Is. If he comes to fruition.
Now, and I'm not saying that this is a concern of mine, but I'm just looking at it because, like, I can remember when we had Justin Pugh, right? Remember that? And when we had Pugh, the main thing that people kept saying was, well, we should throw him at guard because he got them baby arms, like them little T-Rex arms. Y'all remember that shit?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? I say that to say, like, if that's the case, at 6'7", y'all don't think that that's too tall for a fucking guard?
It sure is. That's way too tall for a guard.
Okay, so I'm not wrong in what I'm thinking, right?
He's not going to be able to get that leverage.
Yeah. 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 That's what I'm thinking.
But that's what he, I mean, that's what he played. I mean, what you thinking? Like, you know, are they trying to cross-train him to be a swing type?
I'm saying with, like, his height, it seems more suited for the outside. Now, I'm not sure if that's what they're trying to do with him, but with his height and length, it seems more suited for outside. It don't seem suited for guard.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Rock. You have something on that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think he'd be able to get that leverage playing guard. He'll be pushed back a lot because he just want to be able to get that leverage that he needs, control, nose tackle or D tackle. Like Shake said, he'll be better off on the outside because of his name. I don't know how long his arms are, but standing
right
at 6'7", man, you got to be in the outside.
Right.
I don't know how successful he was, because you said, LRP, that he played guard in college?
Mm-hmm. All in North Carolina.
Yeah, he played right guard in North Carolina.
How successful was he?
Very.
Was he a dominant guard, or was he just
enough to get drafted, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was, I know that the film that I was used to watch on him,
People get drafted, though. People get drafted just so they can train them to be something that they think they want to be.
Right. Projection,
right? People get
projection.
Drafted off of expectation. Like, I think he's going to be there.
That's true.
No, I mean, I get that, you know, and that makes sense. But
especially
just,
when you take late.
He's so good.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
mm-hmm. Late round draft picks are always projected.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting, man. It's interesting for that. I'm glad I brought that up, man. That's definitely interesting, though. I'm going to keep it, man. I think I'm going to name that the title of this shit. You know what I mean? But, yeah. Definitely. Let us know in the comment section what y'all feel, man. What y'all think, man. Is McKeithen better suited at guard, or is he better suited at tackle with being at 6'7"? 335 pounds? That's crazy.
But see, that's the thing, though, because that puts him in a great space, if you ask me, because, yes, the height puts him at a tackle as far as movement-wise, but the weight, you know what I mean? Like, would that affect or cause him even more injuries because of the shifting and moving and this, that, and the heels that he got to get on? You know what I mean? At 300, can he move? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're
going to
have to be able to move at
that. Yeah, good point.
So they
have too much mass.
Yeah,
I mean, because, like, at tackle, you have to have some bit of athleticism. And to your point of what you're saying, with the mass of his, it might limit his athleticism. So, you know what I mean, he might be better to just be standing in a booth, is what you're saying, because of the weight. It's a good point.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like too, what's that saying? Like too tall for people, but too short for something. You know what I mean? I don't know. But, yeah, it puts them in that gray area.
It's a good point. Marcus McKeithen, what's your life like, bro? You know what I mean? What's your life like? All right, man.
So
go ahead.
Real quick, one more thing on McKeithen, because I'm reading up. A scout's bio on him on NFL.com. it says he racked up 543 knockdown blocks in high school.
My bad. Say that one more time.
He had 543 knockdown blocks his senior year in high school.
God damn, bro. That's... Bruh, this motherfucker had a whole IHOP. Just pancakes all over. Pancakes all over.
He said, they said,
he's a good player. Good prospect.
Yeah.
I mean, really good prospect. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, whether or not he can stay healthy, that's what I thought his only issue was. But as far as technique and what he can bring, as far as what he can do, I think that part is not a big concern.
He
said he was a three-year starter in college. The keys in place for his size was the ability to mash and move single blocks and double teams. He's best suited for gap and power schemes, but will struggle against moving fronts that force him to react quickly to action in his gaps. The pass protection is going to be a little leaky due to his lack of fly quickness and trouble versus twist. McKeaton's blend of size and power to make him a day three pick and future NFL backup.
So, see, it goes to exactly the point that LRP made. He's better in the booth. He can't move on the outside. You don't have the athleticism, bro.
And I think what's benefited him in college, because when I would watch him, you wouldn't have to move. Like a strong as shit, bro. He would literally take two motherfuckers and just push it. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude is huge. You know what I mean? So he didn't really have to move because he's literally a tinker.
Good shit, man. Great points. Good shit, man. Man, we on fire, bro. We on fire, bro. God damn, like, we are killing this content right now. All right, man. Let's go ahead and give a closing statement before the live section shut down on us. And definitely LLP got to go to work. Take his ass to work, bro. The fuck is you doing? I had to call this man and wake him
up. I'm in the car right now. Don't worry.
Now, you know you doing bad, bro. If I gotta call you to wake you up, bro, you doing bad, bro. You doing bad, bro. All right. But yeah, man, my boy is in the car, getting ready to get up in there right now. So, let me get a closing statement. J. Rock, LLP.
Yeah, man. Check out Shakedown Media Network on the Twitter. Y'all can follow at Shakedown Show. And take those polls, man. Take those polls, man. Polls are out there every week. Right now, the hottest poll on there is who wins the NFC East in 2023. Right now, with 102 votes, it's neck and neck between the Eagles and the Giants. Giants got them by 2%, 35.3% to 33.3%. Take that vote, man. Maybe y'all can put them over.
No doubt.
Also, fantasy football, man, is coming up. Y'all can send me a DM at JRock_MIG on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you in there, man. We got four leagues, man. Get it in there.
That's a fact. Oh, yeah. At JRockNYG. Is it underscore? Underscore, right?
Yeah, it's underscore.
Yeah, it's JRockNYG.
_NYG. Please go ahead and hit that man DMs up. Get up in this fantasy league. And let me bust that ass, Paul. But, go ahead, LLP, what you got for
me? Man, you are absolutely right. I said that shit while I was in the shower. I was like, let me find out. I said, say this call me to wake my ass up. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wake your ass up. And then here I am, knocked the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, you know.
Devil's working overtime, bro, but.
Highlight zone.
Devil's working overtime, but we made it, and as we always, you know, definitely changing the mold now. So we made it. We was here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Be safe for your families, and see y'all on Thursday. Glad it's kept at the house, drinking on the day off.
No doubt, man. And as for me, man, great show, man. It was great episodes, man. Like I said, we've been on fire this whole month, man. It shows in the numbers. The numbers is inflating. So we appreciate everybody that subscribed already, man. All them numbers. Just boop, 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 boop. And, yo, shit's crazy, bro. So we loving it. We loving that y'all loving our content. You know, but that's never been a doubt in my mind. When we all come together and when we, like, on one shit, like, just one accord, like, man, ain't nobody better, bro. I'm sorry. Ain't no disrespect to nobody. But ain't nobody better than us, man. We do this shit, bro. So we appreciate everybody that listens in. And, again, man, y'all might as well go ahead and tell some people to check us out and subscribe to the channel because we're going to keep on bringing this fire to y'all, man. So y'all stay tuned. Next up, tomorrow, first thing up is Shakedown DMV. So join us at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Shakedown DMV, and then go over at 8:30 to the regular Shakedown Sports Podcast, our flagship show. And enjoy the content, y'all. Make sure, if you didn't catch that LRP's, let me tell you, the third installment, man, please go back and watch that, man. The numbers is crazy on that shit, man. People are definitely watching that, so don't be the one that didn't watch it, man. Don't be the one that missed out, man. Go ahead and check that shit out, man. And leave a like, share, comment,
yeah,
and subscribe.
Yeah, that shit put a smile on my face when I saw that. You know, I mean, people tuning in to that. I was like, yo, that's up. I appreciate y'all, man. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No doubt. Over 100 views in 24 hours, man. That's pretty goddamn good, buddy. It's pretty goddamn good. All right? So we definitely want them numbers to be inflated.
For the snakes, baby. We'll be on stage this year. Come check out Last Row Forward and his comedy stand-up debut.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. We got a lot more in store for y'all, man. Today's Culture Urban Impact. Shay School and Ebert. We got Shakes and LRP show coming real soon. We definitely want y'all to stay tuned for that, man. That's coming out. Yeah, man, we working, man. We're going to get y'all hella content. So, like I said, man, go ahead, like, subscribe, join the tribe, all right? And like we always say around this time, we don't expect y'all to agree with us, but we damn sure expect y'all to understand. Understand? So don't get shook up because we keep shit live. It's the Shakedown up in New York Giants on that drive for five. And we out of there. Takes away, J-Rock.
Yo, I just been shook by the Shakedown. We up.
All right. Good night. One.
Peace.